Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. My name is Jules Gill and I'm joined by two lovely men who have just come back off of a very, very important trip. No, it was not to solve world hunger or to establish peace in the Middle East. Apparently, according to them, it was much more important. I'm joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Gareth Morgan.
Ahoy, hoy.
And they have just come back from playing Outriders. Yeah, a bit of a disappointment considering the other options that were on the table there. But you know what, guys? You chose to do that. That's absolutely fine.
This is what we needed to, man.
I did, indeed.
Yeah. Outriders itself wasn't a disappointment. So in all the things, it was quite good.
I mean, the world.
So you guys have just come back from a trip. You went out to Poland, courtesy of Square Enix. So thank you very much for sending us out there to play Outriders. Now, this is going to be a launch title for the next generation of consoles. So effectively, you guys got to play pretty much the first time that we're going to get a chance to play a first generation console.
Yeah, that's like that's the pitch, because they say holiday 2020 and obviously holiday,
what's coming.
It doesn't leak into 21, and we know the game consoles are coming out holiday season, so it's just we're waiting for a few trailers to come out and then really confirm the date. I think maybe around E3 they'll give us a specific, but yeah, it's cross gen, so it's actually coming out on PS4, Xbox One, Xbox One S, and Series X, and
I mean, I had a look at the footage that you guys brought back as well. It's a pretty nice looking title, because it's made by People Can Fly, isn't it? Who had a hand in the Gears of War franchise. There was two studios that were working together on
Gears Judgment and also Bulletstorm.
Oh, Bulletstorm. So what a game, by the way.
They were quite friendly with Epic for a while, so they were under the sort of umbrella and like doing other games with them. But yeah, it's weird because, as I said to Gareth earlier today, that this felt like a mixture between a Gears and a Bulletstorm style thing, where you've got cover based combat, and it's like you're kind of like thoughtful combat, but at the same time you can just run out there and you can try and do some combos with your pals and things like that and really get involved and stuck in.
I love the idea of it, because I didn't really know anything about this game until it was like sent up for the trip, and obviously there was a bit of a teaser at E3, wasn't there?
That's the only thing that was really out there.
So gives away nothing compared to in terms of the actual game. We found that as soon as, because we only had that information going into the actual trip, we were like, oh, we are a bit blind coming into this. What are we going to expect?
But isn't that quite exciting in a way? Because like, I miss the days of like not shadow launching games, but obviously just being drip fed information that was just like, you know, you would get it in snippets in magazines. That would be your only source of information. Like back when I was a kid, it would be like, if it wasn't an official PlayStation magazine or whatever, I wouldn't know about it.
You go to Blockbuster and see a case and like, I like that cover. Oh, can we have this game? It almost felt like that, like weird video game speed dating where you know nothing. Let's go. Apart from obviously the details we've been given.
Well, hopefully you both were left satisfied by the game afterwards.
Big time.
I was seriously surprised, because obviously it just... there's always some speculation. Is it speculation?
Yeah.
When you go into a thing in...
Like a skepticism.
Yeah, skepticism. Yeah. Skeptical.
Skeptical.
I was skeptical. Not spectacle. Because when you hear nothing and you almost let it go dark for a year, you kind of like wonder, like, is something wrong?
Yeah.
But trying to hide something?
But then we played it, and from the intro that we weren't allowed to record and like kind of gloss over a bit, but and then going into the actual game, it was like, wait, this is something they're trying to do new, and it's like I've not played a free player co-op game in a while where it felt like it's taking the best bits from the games that I tend to feel like a job, like it's not a live service game and it hasn't got loot boxes, and it feels like it's not as grindy, as you would say.
Okay.
And there is a lot of emphasis on loot and like picking up new like armor pieces and new guns and stuff like that. But at the same time, these were coming fast and furious and they felt satisfying.
So what's the actual sort of premise of the game then? Like, because for people who haven't heard of this, and obviously there's not that much information going about, like try and sum it up in the elevator pitch, I guess.
From, do you want to go again?
Well, you land in that world of Enoch. I don't know how much we can kind of go into how you get to the world of Enoch, but once you're there, I think the idea is that humans are just trying to kind of use this place as a new base, really, a new civilization, which always happens. We always think we can start over and make things better, but you know what? We can't. And then later on, we realize that this planet is not what it first seemed.
Ooh.
There's been an anomaly.
That's black goo.
Black goo.
Oh, everyone's favorite stuff, isn't it?
A bit like Prometheus, and I'll keep emphasizing that I'm not the quality of Prometheus, that some people don't like that film, but they go to a mysterious
Ben Roy. After your love of Colin Salmon's appearance in Resident Evil, I'm pretty safe to say that your movie choices are.
I mean, I like Colin Salmon's appearance in Alien vs. Predator as well. So, but the thing is, with Prometheus, going back to the same sort of franchise, they land on a planet that they're trying to find out, like Alien Covenant, where they're trying to find someone new to live. And as you said, Gareth, there's an anomaly. I can't speak today. And along with the black goo, there's also an event that happens.
Yeah.
Which changes everything, and people are like, oh, this is not what we are signing up for.
Okay.
And then there's a bit of a time jump.
I like that, though. It's
because
brilliant.
You look at some of the trailers, I think that'll be going out just before this, and some of like the guns and look really like organic in weird, it's a bit grown.
Yeah.
And people, like, we saw one of them in the gameplay where it morphed with like metal and stuff.
Well, this is the interesting thing, is that when I was watching the footage you guys brought back, you concluded your time with the game, it seemed, with a big boss battle.
Yes.
And
what we thought was a big boss battle.
And we was promptly told it wasn't a boss.
it was just a sub boss.
Just a captain.
Well, the weapon that he was firing looked like it was out of... Have you guys seen the film Existence? It's weird film. It's like a sci-fi film where they build a gun out of bone and cartilage.
And that is
basically what he looked like he was firing. Like it was all like a living organism. That shot bloody lightning. And the lightning followed you guys around.
Now
I'm going to hazard a guess out of the two of you, because obviously there was two different gameplay that came back. Now, Gareth, this is not meant to be harsh.
Okay.
You said to me before this trip, you were like, listen, man, like I play a lot of FIFA. I play like, you know, bits and bobs like that. But, you know, I'm not a hardcore X-Gamer XX69.
No.
But that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Were you by any chance to go with a sniper rifle?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I wanted safety, okay?
Just fantastic. Safety.
But you know what? If you are watching the footage and have gone over to the What Culture Gaming channel and seen the footage there, I love it because Gareth isn't actually aiming for the heads. That's not what he's doing. No, he's giving them warning shots. He's giving them a chance to change their ways.
Just toying with them.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the emotional and mental manipulation with your battle style. I could definitely tell that you were the one, though. Because not only have you got a serried history with the Gears of War franchise,
I
could see you jumping from cover to cover, but I was like, now what does Ben Roy like about Gears of War? Oh yeah, he likes Nashes and shotguns, and then all I saw was you with a shotgun just going blub, blub, blub.
Occasionally using the Pyromancer ability to set people on fire, but mainly in their face.
Now that is a key point about this game, because there is a lot of focus on shooting and or looting, but one of the things that I noticed was that every single you guys had very different powers.
I believe.
Is this a class-based game where you build a character, or is it something that you just choose from one of four, like a heavy, a sniper, and this and that? Because I don't know how you guys started from point A and ended up at point B.
It was very Pokemon. You pick your Pokemon at the start.
Okay. So you choose a tree, like a skill tree sort of thing.
Yeah. There will be four classes, but we got to see three of them.
I wonder why they kept the fourth one.
Yeah, I'm quite curious what they could do with the fourth one.
Interesting.
But so I played the Pyromancer, because obviously I recognize Pyromancer, that's a name I know, I'm gonna pick this.
Yep.
I like fire, and not that I'm an arsonist. And from there, they have three key abilities that you can map to. If it's PS4, it'll be like R1, L1,
and the shoulder buttons,
and the same with like Xbox. But so the main sort of one on the left bumper would be a power where you can sort of like launch fire through the floor and it comes up from behind cover.
Yeah, so that was amazing.
And it goes uphill. So I'm really like, I hate it when you do these abilities in other games when like
and they just hit, they hit the ramp of the hill, and you're just like, that's clearly not where I want it.
Goes up that and gets them. And it doesn't necessarily kill most of them like straight away, but if you put a few bullets into them, you see them launch up into the air and explode.
Love that. But then you can set them up for other people as well,
right? Because I saw that happen a few times. So the enemies, it seemed that they rose up out the air, they glowed green or yellow, and they exploded. Was that what they would do normally if you just shot them dead with bullets, or is it something
that's because of the power?
So it's a chaining thing. So if you had a group of enemies hiding behind a wall and one of them rose up, you shot that or whatever, it exploded, it would do damage to them.
And it breaks your heart when you're like kind of working away on someone, you're like, I'm going to destroy this person, then you just suddenly see him start glowing. I'm like, dude,
you stole my kill. Stop it.
And there's one for R1 and L1, LB, RB, it just like sends out a wave around you to
so
sort of
like crowd
freeze
control.
Them in sort of like magma sort of crust, and then you can sort of take pot shots at them from there.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So it basically like leaves them in a vulnerable state and then you can finish them off.
Yeah. And like the other ability that I got to use as a paramantis was kind of like the first one, but it was a more of a wider range and just like throwing a gulf of fire at people, and you can get multiple.
Like a wall of flame sort of thing. And then what was the character abilities you had?
I was the Devastator, and I had, I believe my R1 was the flying kind of...
Yes.
Going in and out.
Your guy kind of jumped back off the map and was suspended in air and then came back down. Can you attack people? Oh, like a meteor.
Big slam.
Right.
It was the big body slam. And like, it was really good as well, because when you were snipering from a distance, you could get straight back into the action.
That's cool.
So he'd be off killing and I'd go.
I noticed you used it in some really useful ways as well, because there was the battle with the lightning guy and he had lightning going on the floor, but you decided to jump up technically off of the map and then you held yourself there until the lightning went away, and I was like, that's brilliant, you can avoid like environmental hazards that way.
But this is I think one of the genius parts of the game. There's no tutorial thing going, hey, why didn't you try this? You have to figure everything out yourself, and organically you realize, right, I can get around this by doing this and this.
We should jump ahead a minute to that encounter. That power was key for us to beat that the captain.
Because
when he was pulling up his shield, he was actually regenerating, and we didn't have enough like firepower to stop him regenerating.
Somebody was getting very frustrated.
I was like, what is going on here? Why have we spent 17 minutes on this one man? Cut it down really short for the video, obviously.
I ran out of sniper bullets.
But I'm screaming at Gareth to go and get more ammo. The box is back there.
But then I see on his footage, he'd go to the ammo box and he would have electrified it. So he was dying if he was trying to kill
him. I mean, sometimes you just got to take a hit just to carry on with the fight.
I had a pistol.
How many people can you have in a group?
Three.
That's a weird number.
We did play with a third guy at one point.
Okay.
And then when we had all three classes together, that was quite cool. And we did get a chance to quickly jump in there as a solo, which is not overwhelming, but there was just like, you know, you're dealing with all these enemies with just the single person. I would probably recommend a two or a three.
I feel like you're missing out a little bit, because it's like going to a club with your friends and then going on your own.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it's still the same club, but it's a bit like
the vibe has changed considerably.
And it's good to chain them all up.
And I can't do all of these drugs.
Not on my own.
I've tried that before and it's ended badly.
Speaking of paramancer abilities, sorry.
Speaking of drugs, the third class, the trickster, actually was a bit trippy, because you would do sort of similar moves to the paramancer. So like instead of a launch, you had this weird sort of like swipe, almost like you had a sword for a second, but it's almost like a beam of light. If you had the second ability, if you had them, you can encase them in like a slow-mo bubble, so they came in.
Oh, that's cool.
And if you set us up again, then we can start
use your swipes or shoot them and kill them in that bubble, and they would evaporate and they'll go to like skeleton and then blow up afterwards.
That's cool.
Which was really sort of like visually, like compared to the like
destruction of the Devastator.
The Devastator and the Paramancer. Well, it was like a nice compliment.
I like the idea that there's, because co-op shooters like this, they need to have moves that benefit other players, because it's one of the things where finding a balance between, you know, working together and trying to get the best loot for yourself is quite difficult in some games. But if you have moves that are like, right, I'm going in with the shotgun, can you weaken him up by, I don't know, lifting him up in the air or putting him in the time bubble? It's like, okay, you do that, but when you're there, throw some grenades up and flush this guy out, whatever. Like, that's the type of combat that I absolutely love. And it's unfortunately the thing that was missing from like Anthem. It was like, because the combat in Anthem is good, but it made you feel like you were the most important person and that you should never bother helping your team. Same with Destiny in some areas as well, like you were all unique, but you weren't really sort of supporting each other unless you were like professional like players of the
you
game.
You can certainly see influences of those games there. Well, like especially in the menu system, Destiny, the menu system, I had flashbacks to that.
Oh, really?
With Anthem, just you go into the hub world of Outriders, and you remember that E3 trailer of Anthem where it was bustling, there were people everywhere.
The one that never actually came to materialize.
And there was no one there. This one, at least you had people there. And also it ties back to the real world, like records being used as decorations.
Yeah, I saw that.
And other little sort of like villages and stuff. And you can
apparently also... that moves, doesn't it? That's all kind of part of it.
Getting your truck
system.
And move.
Your
which
truck.
So the village is on the back of a truck?
It is a truck, isn't it?
There'll be settlements you can go to throughout the world.
That's
but
cool.
They'll be emphasizing that you have like a truck to travel to. I believe there'll be like something like 8 zones around the planet. Mm-hmm.
And I assume that will dictate what type of environment you're fighting in. So it'll be like your classic fire, magma zone, trash zone.
We didn't get to see any of the truck just yet.
Yep.
But... yeah, the environment seemed good, and you could pick up side quests from there, which we missed in the first way through.
Can we talk about what happened with the guy who got pushed off the stairs? Because we've not talked about this. So there was a point where we
in real life.
Yes, this was in the middle of the game. He just landed next to me. But we were all running around. It was when there was all three of us. We were just kind of running around this space, like really just kind of letting it wash over us. Like, wow, this is incredible.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
And then I think it was either you or the other guy commented saying, oh, look at these guys. They're all bullying somebody at the top of these stairs. And we all went, oh, yeah, that's weird. And then we went off and did like the side mission, I believe, and then came back. And then we all went, oh, I wonder what happened to that guy. He got bullied. And then we saw everyone looking down these stairs and we like walked down the stairs and there was just a splattered body on the
floor. Oh, the Blancmange. Oh, yeah, right. He just went into goo. Like he just proper was wasted there.
Oh, wow. So can you interact with stuff like that in the hub world?
That point
necessarily.
It was weird because we thought it was eternally hanging there, and then we came back and things were changing. Like it was almost like the environment progresses
again.
A bit.
That's another thing that I kind of like find is very hard to get right in games. Like Borderlands did that thing where they have a hub world that you always go back to. Mm. Borderlands 3, and stuff would change bit by bit, and that felt like you were progressing.
Yeah.
But I like it when you like, if you don't deal with this, then something's going to happen. Like, that's interesting. Did you get to chat to the developers about that sort of like little details and things like that?
I think we missed
because it was such a blink and you missed it thing of wait, what? That was from before. Like, and it just kind of, we just kind of scurried on with the main mission then.
But those little details are so good at world building because, like, from that one instance there, you get that, like, the humanity that you're fighting for isn't united at the moment.
No way.
It's still picking on the weak. It's still doing all of these things. So I assume that there's questions of whether you are in the right for trying to colonize this world in the first place. Either is that sort of like addressed in the game?
You're sort of coming back to this mess after not knowing how long has passed. And I don't mean we'll say how long has passed just because leave it as a surprise for the listeners. But it's kind of like, things have certainly changed from where it was.
Interesting.
Because when you first like sort of land, again, it felt like this whole like alien-ish, like sort of like you look like you was wearing Mass Effect like sort of like really clothing at some point.
Yeah.
And from there it just goes to insane Mad Max, like sort of like let's put bones on things and stuff like that.
Yeah. The characters really develop from that early stage of the game. Obviously I won't want to speak too much about it, but people you meet early on, you go, oh, they're this. When you meet them at that next point in the after the time jump, you're like, whoa, this planet has had an effect on people.
Yeah.
It's a slight tangent here. Mm-hmm. I always wonder, what do you guys think is the reasonable amount of years before you start becoming Mad Max punk after the world apocalypse happens? So say we're here in Gateshead right now, and I know it's very hard to know when the apocalypse will hit due to the state of this entire city, but let's just say it has happened today. Okay. How long, theoretically, until I could start putting cat bones onto my jackets without it being weird?
I'd probably think it'd be a bit longer than 30, 40 years, maybe.
Nah, I'm going 2 years.
So you're saying that necklace. I wouldn't be alive technically in order to be like my 60th birthday or my 70th.
You'd be like,
finally, I could wear it.
You'd be like,
rebuilt society now, Jules. But I get to wear my bone necklace.
No, you'd be the, by then you'd be, the little guy in Mad Max that they stick in the chair.
I'd be the Lord Humongous and whatever his name is. Brilliant. Yeah, so I'd be carried around.
I don't know, maybe like 20 years? Do you think it'd go...
You get a blackout. You very quickly have to like think on your feet. I'd say 2 years, personally. Just a couple of years. I think you're in that position.
You've been a couple of years.
Why don't you let us know, actually, about this in the... I was going to say in the comments, but we are fully audio now. So we've got the hashtag running on Twitter, which is hashtag WCGP. And I have to say it that slowly because I get so confused and I keep on thinking of RPD. I keep thinking of Raccoon Police Department. Yeah. I keep doing that. But send us a question on there because then that way, let us know when you think it's feasible to start wearing bone armor in the apocalypse.
Start a countdown.
I know that this has got nothing to do with Outriders, but I just thought it was a little nice.
Their catchphrase at the moment is sci-fi meets savagery.
There we go then.
But it's so apt because it is that thing of, I think, where we come into the world. We had all these kind of, the weapons are quite, I don't know, not automated, but they're very kind of not far off where we are now in terms of technology. And then from the sounds of things, as the game kind of progresses, things get warped and you get this kind of technology being completely kind
almost
of evolved.
Rewritten, like if the evolution of a tech state. The one thing I did notice is that when you guys were in the store having a look around at some of the equipment, you've got your basic guns on the left there and it's got all of your rarity classes by like the purple, golds, whatever. But every single one had like a different name and like a different permutation on it as well. Yeah. So I'm assuming that they are really pushing that this has got a ton of customization for your weapons as well.
And you didn't even hit the tip of the iceberg.
Can you go into the weapons themselves and customize them further?
I'm not sure because again, like we saw in some trailers that the organic look and stuff. So I think you could go quite far up into like the upgrading sort of type.
So you could basically like take a gun, put some black goop on it, turn it to like a tiny skeleton. There you go. Bang,
well, some of the actual characters that we saw, didn't we, when we were looking around the kind of venue, like the actual progression, because when you've got these webs, whatever they are, the chains of evolution of your character, at the very end of that chain, you kind of saw like a rough outline of where your character could get to.
Okay.
And it just looks frightening.
I think you might end up a bit more looking like the big captain guy that we faced at the
it
end.
It looked like mutation from this power is going to be a big big factor of it.
Well. Like we didn't know that, but that's why.
Yeah, I loved it. I was like, hello, Kenobi.
we weren't told that, but that's what I would expect to happen. Also, like it's weird because like when you fight together, like you use your abilities and this will help you get a heal buff, and like it's more. It encourages you to be aggressive to like get through combat situations as well.
I mean, I've always found that if you're going to build a game around combat, it's got to be good. Yeah. Did it feel good to shoot the guns? Like, because that's some games I've played like this, they tout themselves as being like, oh, we're brilliant and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, it feels too floaty, or the running cycle doesn't feel right or something. How did it feel to play?
I think it depends on who you are. As a person, in terms of what weapons you like. For me, like when it comes to snipers, things like that, I was enjoying that. Mm-hmm. The assault rifles, I wasn't massive on, just purely because in terms of the actual people you're coming up against,
they seem to take a lot of bullets.
Yeah, whereas with the shotguns, when you got within a nice range, you could kind of take them down quite easily. Yeah. But then the snipers were quite effective as well. So
I think it's telling that when you switched to the pistol, you automatically had two pistols and you were sort of like dual wielding. But at first, some of them felt a bit sort of spongy, but when we played the second time, we did a side quest.
They buffed you up by that point.
And the side quests actually had substance to them because we got rewarded guns, which were then melting through these people.
But that's the point, isn't it? They want you to feel empowered.
Like we got such better guns, like I'd say twice as better from when we just ran through the game without, because we weren't sort of like, we weren't really paying attention. We were sort of critical of pathing the first time. Mm-hmm. And something else on like the side quests is there's something that happens in a sort of cutscene beforehand and you think, oh, that'll be answered down the line.
Yeah.
No, one of these side quests that we got to do sort of finished that little exchange you had with a character. It's like, oh, this is nice. Like you can, you wouldn't expect that to be somewhere where you could miss.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you have like a quest like a Fallout or a Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And you can kind of like leave that till later.
And then suddenly you'll come across that person and they'll have an option for dialogue and you're like, I don't remember ever accepting this quest. Yeah.
And then just shoot them in the face.
Yep.
Yeah.
Classic.
But the weapons, I think I would play through this with a shotgun and an assault rifle. Like, I don't know if I can, after I was the trickster and I felt like you had to be a bit more laid back, I just wanted to get in their face and just throw
fire. So the pyromancer is definitely...
Yeah, I mean, I fell in love with the pyromancer pretty quickly. I was saying to Gareth when we was playing it, I was like, you know what, this is actually just, I just like the pyromancer. Like, you could be the trickster and teleport around and be a bit clever. Mm. I just want to shotgun people in the face.
It looked like there was tons of abilities as well. Like, it looked like from the ones that you guys had access to, there were still like skill trees that had tons of extra stuff.
We just got to use three out of the, like 15 or so per character, even more. Sort of thing, but we show the skill tree in the video. But yeah, the powers I just had, the basic ones, if they were it, I mean, they, some of them had shared the same DNA, but they were very sort of satisfying.
I like the fact that you could customize your character like fully as well. Like, I was watching you guys build the face of the female that you were playing,
like
as
the scars.
And there's and... like loads of stuff that, and the graphics look really nice as well.
I was saying as well, like, it's not like what's things up Outer Worlds, not Wilds, where you give yourself a face, you never see your face again. It's like,
give yourself a face, here's a helmet.
Even if you got cool helmets like a Star-Lord,
I saw that you got that one,
in the game, like, it's good that they take them off for the cutscenes and things like that.
Yeah, so that's cool.
You still feel like it's your character. And
that's
like,
the one odd thing about the cutscenes though, and if you're in it like a co-op together, like with three people, you'd still primarily be the lead, your character would be the lead person. No, I think what.
That does a thing where it makes you the special one. Sort
I
of
think
thing,
that, that kind of makes sense because I found that quite weird when you were playing Red Dead 2 online and they were like, oh, I'm running up to this person and we're all in a posse. Yeah. Who's going to be the leader? And it would just randomly choose one of them to be. And I was like, it kind of makes sense that you're sharing the responsibility, but at the same time, you want your character to be the front and center. Yeah. Like, if a person's addressing the group, you really want them to address you. So yeah, I'm
that
glad.
Kind of makes sense, actually,
I'm glad that they've done that in a weird way. Like, because otherwise, imagine if it was like you were playing online and all of a sudden Ben Roy's character was in the lead. You'd be like, oh well, I guess I've got to listen to Ben Roy then.
Yeah, I just think that this game, they're taking chances with some of the things, and I think it's going to be sort of like a, because it's going to be cross-gen, but it's weird to see that DNA from old games and then trying to take it in their own new stance forward.
So the Gears of War developers had like quite a hand in the combat side of this, you can tell, because of the fact that it's like got that chest-high wall scenario. Yeah. Did it actually manage to feel fresh enough to carry on playing? Because with the likes of Destiny, with the likes of Borderlands looter shooters, with the likes of Gears of War obviously still being very, very relevant, what's the odds of Outriders breaking the market? You can be completely honest here, because we're like, we got sent out there, but it doesn't mean that we have to be like
At first, when we did our first encounter after like the intro bit, I was kind of thinking that this seemed like a box standard shooter, but as soon as you get the powers and I got the confidence to just run around, I saw this click over me and I went from, okay, I'm gonna go and see this game and I've known nothing about it, I'll give it a shot, to, you know what, I think I might want to get this. I think I might want to get my other two friends to buy this. And, you know, there's three of us and it's a three-player co-op game.
Well, this is the thing. There's this three-player co-op of four classes.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think, like, they're not going to try and sneak in an asymmetrical versus one other person, are they?
I mean, do you think they could?
If they're marketing it as, I don't know, that we haven't seen enough. Like, what if they turn around and just sell it? There's also another multiplayer mode where one of you can be the bad guy and lead the waves against you.
I'd love that, though. I'd just love to be the electrified madman.
Captain with the living gun. But, we're going on a little holiday.
Sweet.
Yeah, having played, I feel like, a few of the sort of similar types of these games now, it felt like a nice mold between a few of them to where I'm getting a bit like, they said this game wasn't a live service. And I'll get like, oh, this is another live service. Oh, there's another battle pass for me. I don't want things to feel like a job.
But this
felt like something that I could go to, actually have sit down and have like a chat, like with my friends playing this and shoot some space people that have been, you know, with the black goo, and then just find out how this mystery in humanity happened.
We said this as well. It feels like the kind of game where you could play it through a couple of times and have a completely different experience every time.
That's always good as well, because the replayability, value for money, is so important in this day and age. So Outriders are sounding very, very tempting, to be honest. I mean, like, I was annoyed in the fact that I couldn't go out and play it with you guys, but at the same time, I'm glad that we did get to get some hands-on with it. So, obviously, as we get more and more info, we'll be making sure to pass it on to the lovely people that are listening to this podcast and the beautiful people who subscribe over on the What Culture Gaming channel as well. But here's the thing. If you've got any questions for us, then why not send them to us on Twitter at hashtag WCPG. Almost said D again.
D-D Dilembi.
How is it GP then?
But yeah, and we'll answer any questions that you guys send through, which will be lovely to make sure that we can answer and keep you guys in the loop as much as possible. But where are you going to send them to us? Well, you can do so by following the What Culture Gaming pod, What Culture Gaming Twitter, which I'm pretty sure is just WC Gaming.
WC Gaming, yes.
There we go. Oh, I'm starting to get this right now. You can follow myself at RetroJ with a zero over on Twitter. You can follow Gareth at
GMorgan04.
Ooh, and you can follow Benroy at
Benroy Turner.
He's there lucky in the fact that he's got his own actual name. I'll tell you that some guy actually like got in touch with me. He owns the original RetroJ, like without the zero.
Is he getting?
And he just said, like, he goes, "You can have it. I don't use it anymore. You can have it." And I was like, "Do I want to?"
Because
I've spent so long saying with a zero that I now I'm just kind of like, it feels weird to not.
All that stuff would be redundant.
Yeah, it would be.
Like, at least none of us. I mean, you've got numbers at the end of yours. Sorry, but like, you know, like, unfortunately,
mine's a lucky number.
Like Colin Salmon's got 24 at the end of his. And sometimes you just take.
That's just showing his power rating out of 23.
Yeah.
So there we go, Colin Salmon. If you're listening to this, thank you for liking the last podcast that we did on Resident Evil. It was all just fun and games. We do actually like you, and we also want you to take Benroy out for a pint,
please.
He was just like, oh, yes, okay.
Brilliant. Yes.
It's happening.
But thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed this little chat about Outriders. And are you excited about it? Send us questions and thoughts over on Twitter. But until then, we'll speak to you soon. Goodbye from me. And goodbye from Gareth. Sorry, they were looking at me like, you don't sign this off like a video, Jules. And I'm like, yeah, I've just realized that now. It's a goodbye from me. It's a goodbye from Gareth.
It is. It's a cup of goodbye from me.
And Benroy, do you have anything to say in your closing remarks before this train wreck pulls into the station and kills everyone?
I'm very tired.
Right, we'll speak to you soon, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.